All right. Boy, did that jump out loud. That jumped in real loud, didn't it, man? Let me check this out. Turn this fan down. That jumped in real loud, man. Testing 1-2. 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 Oh, that's interesting. Test 1-2. 1-2. 1-2. 1-2. 1-2. 1-2-3-4. Why in the name of everything holy is that thing there like that? All right. What if I don't want that? I want to turn that motherfucker off, man. I can't do it. Okay, so welcome to our pre-show. I had this whole thing I was going to tell you about, because I read this thing, it was really interesting. So I played a few bars of Whiter Shade of Pale, because I played like a quarter of the song there. I had read recently, not too recently, it was about maybe a year ago, Chuck D on Twitter had posted Whiter Shade of Pale, the video, with one word, dope. And I went on to read what he was saying about it. And one of the things he said about it was that the drum fills that you hear between those phrases on the organ and Gary Brooker's singing, is that Brooker? Is the drumming of a guy named Bill Iden. Bill Iden was a session player. He was not a member of Procol Harum. Procol Harum hadn't hired one of their permanent guys until a few months later. They hired a guy named Bobby Hammond. But Bill Iden was the player on that, and you hear all those really cool drum fills. He was a session player with great experience. He was 37 at the time they recorded Whiter Shade of Pale, which is not old in any sense, but he was much older than the young players in Procol Harum. All those guys were in their early 20s. And he'd had a lot of years of experience up to that point, about 16, 17 years. He'd been playing since the early 50s. He was in jazz groups throughout England. And any of the best and all of the best jazz players in England he played with or around or, you know, in between, Tubby Hayes, Ronnie Scott. He was a member of the Jazz Couriers, which is the house band at Ronnie Scott's club in London. And if you ever get over to London and you want to, you know, and I don't know if that club's still there, the Ronnie Scott Jazz Club or not, but it's probably the most famous jazz club in London. And like that, and this dude had all kinds of session experience and played with in some British R&B groups like Georgie Fame and the Blue Flames was a. And then he also played with Alex Kerner, who was an early R&B player that had a band that included guys like Ginger Baker and Jack Bruce. So he had all the best musicians in England, and then Long John Baldry, so all kinds of guys. And now Procol Harum, you know. I guess if you were a musician in England at that time and you were any good, you were probably pulled into some rock and roll session somewhere along the way. But what it said to me was Chuck D saying what he said, is that hip-hop and rap, I think people think, is an insular kind of music. The artists there are sort of only hang out with each other. They only listen to each other. They are only influenced by, shall we say, urban or black artists. But their influences are wide and many. And, you know, Kraftwerk was one of the founding influences of American rap and hip-hop, which is a German synth pop band, and things like, you know, Procol Harum. So I wanted to go back and listen to it.
You see, and to see whether my recollections were the same as the recollections there of Chuck D, you know. I said, Dudley.
We were talking the other day, and I was talking to Trevor Duvall and some of the guys over at FS for Family, and they were talking about all these accents they do, and I said, all the accents that I know, I learned from television, you know. I said, the first British accent I learned how to do wasn't really a British accent. It was the accent of a British guy that was given by an American actor. And it was Dudley Do-Right's father-in-law.
I say Dudley.
Do you guys remember Dudley Do-Right from Rocky and Bullwinkle? It was one of the cartoons they played on Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Dudley, Nell is having a problem over there.
You know, Nell was his daughter, and Dudley, you know, would ride off to save Nell. all that bullshit. Oh, man. We skipped the light, Fandango. So I thought I was going to go down to San Diego to pick Maria up tomorrow. I cleared out a couple of meetings. I cleared the day out. And I get a text from her. I just couldn't ask you to do that. I got a ride back to Westlake. People think they're doing you a favor when they do stuff like that. They think, you know, and they don't consider in the least the fact that you might have made, you know, had to rearrange a whole lot of shit to go and get them. And I was looking forward to going down and picking her up and driving her home. But none of that enters some people's minds. They just barrel ahead and do what they do. They don't consult with anybody because they think they know better what's best for you. And I can tell you, in my life, the people that have done me the most harm have been the people who thought they knew what was best for me. And actually, they didn't do the most harm. I did the most harm. They were second in line. I was the guy that allowed them to do what they thought was best for me. Oh, yeah, okay. Because I just think it would be good for you, Phil, if you did X, Y, Z. Oh, okay, well, let's do that then. You know, it makes sense. You know, yeah, okay, let's do it. You know, disaster. And as they say, success has many fathers. Failure is an orphan. Yeah. Thank you. Sean Spicer doesn't think he ever lied while he was press... Well, yes, he does. He just doesn't want to come out and say it. He lied. Christ almighty. I've never seen anything like it before in my fucking life. And now, what's really funny is we find out that probably 80% of the assholes that we were arguing with on Twitter were bots. They just fake accounts set up by either the Russian cyber intelligence units over there in Russia, or set up by some agency, you know, independent internet agency to help, you know, spread false news and this and that. I mean, that's what the Russians did. I got to be honest with you, it's fucking brilliant. It's fucking brilliant what they did. And I don't think it will ever be as effective as it was in the 2016 election. Because, you know, we found out they were doing it. But Christ, you got to just admire the fucking chutzpah, number one. But really, how sophisticated it was. And at the same, you know, there's an expression, you know, what's the term? High concept, low tech. High concept, low tech. When those planes flew into the World Trade Center and blew it up and everybody died and it just was a disaster. It was a horrible, horrible thing. But a success from the standpoint of Al-Qaeda, that's what's called a high concept but low tech operation. Now, as much as we think the computers and the internet are high tech, comparatively speaking, they're not. Comparatively speaking, in the realm and the world of the internet and the dark web and all this bullshit that's out there, Twitter accounts are like real, you know, low tech, but a very high concept operation. The high concept low tech operation was the Russians dumping a bunch of fake fucking news and fake opinion-making accounts, argumentative opinion-making accounts, just dumping all kinds of cliche and meme and slug and slogan-enforced posts on Twitter that really, put together, don't add up to jack shit, but they get you just emotional enough you want to respond to all of them. And what you're doing, you're talking to a fucking automatic account, ain't even reading your responses. It's not even reading the mentions. Just going right ahead, plowing right ahead, bam, 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 bam. And it was God knows how many thousands of Twitter accounts. We're finding out now, you know, thousands of Facebook accounts. Now, Facebook, I never hung on Facebook for very long. And I would think that Facebook would be a tougher thing to do. It operates different, you know. On Facebook, you can be insulated from everybody else in the world on Facebook. You don't have to see or hear anybody else. And in fact, I go to Facebook to retreat from the high emotion rancor on Twitter. I go to Facebook just to post. I play shoot pool with my followers over there. In fact, if you're a Facebook follower of Phil Hendry's, not a follower, friend, I'm sorry. If you're a Facebook friend of mine, I play that pool game. It's a pretty good game. I think it's called 8-Ball Pool. I play with Bernie. These are all BSPs. I play with Bernie. I play with August. I play with Melissa. I play with Sue. And Tammy is a new one. So that's like four, right? No, it's more than that. Five people. Bernie, Melissa, August, Sue, Tammy. And I think that Allie was playing, and then she bailed out. And then I played WGT Golf with Bernie. He and I. And Cody, you were supposed to join us on that, but you haven't done that. Why am I saying that? Oh, yeah. Because, you know, that's a great place to kind of relax and chill and talk to, you know, people that you know over there. And by the way, if I have any of my BSPs watching, I'm not following you back on, what was it? Instagram, I think. I'll follow you back on Instagram, and also, hit me up, and we'll shoot some pool or something. But why am I saying that? Oh, yeah, because Facebook is a place where you would just, you know, be driven crazy. All right, well, that's too bad. It really is too bad, man. I don't know what to say about that. Grassley asks FBI if it weren't... All right, so anyway, what am I... Oh, yeah, here it is. What am I doing here? Okay. Oh, that's right, I know. No, motherfucker. What? That's a download, bitch. What in the hell? Oh, I dig. Okay, applications. I don't know, man. You know... Deleted notes are moved to recently deleted folder. Oh, would you fuck off? I don't like a lot of this shit that Mac does. I just don't dig it, you know?
I mean, think about it, man. Think about it, man. I mean, you take, like, any kind of, if you think about it.
Hey, look, I'm thinking about it, okay, kid?
Yeah, well, if you think about it, look at what they did, you know? It's pretty interesting, Mr. Henry. If you think about what they did, it's pretty interesting, Mr. Henry, because, I would just say that what the Russians did is like cyber espionage, you know? And I think what we have to do is, for the most part, we have to, we have to be very careful of what is being done and what's going to be done.
I don't know. Is it going to be Jeff Dowder or is it Dave Oliva? See, to me... There's two things that, you know, you want to find out. I'm not saying that Trump colluded. I have no idea, you know. It right now, it doesn't look that way. If anything, what it looks like is a couple of people on his campaign staff were dumb enough, just weren't very bright, and were talking to Ruskies, because there were a lot of motherfucking Russians hanging around. You got to admit, fucking Russians everywhere. Good God almighty. Every time they do a report, well, then there's another Russian added to the list, which does not mean that they colluded. But I think everybody's agreed that Don Jr. ain't the brightest fucking bulb on the tree, and neither are a few of these people that were working for him, were working for Trump. And then there's the other thing. So you didn't collude. But the fact is, and the fact remains, the Russians were trying to fuck with us, and that's a bad thing. You know, you got to deal with that. You have to deal with that. You got to get serious about that. And you got to find out where did they go and what did they do and who did they talk to and did anybody collude? Okay, nobody collude. All right, it's great. So we can move on and now focus on. This is serious. And I'm pretty stunned that they're actually so-called Americans that sit there and go, that's, man, there's something wrong with that. I mean, there's just something basically wrong with that. I mean, we're fighting ourselves now. We're calling out our own intelligence. We're calling out our own law enforcement, the FBI. I mean, I never thought the day would come that Republicans would be like almost, I don't know, disloyal. Because that's what it feels like to me. Every time you bring up something like this, all they do is just... And I heard that one guy, I don't know who that motherfucker is on Fox, said, well, the sooner that you guys stop with all of this Trump investigation, we can stop with the Hillary email. Wait a minute, whoa. What are you talking... What did you just say, man? In other words, you're just harping on the Hillary email as revenge for Trump being looked at, and as soon as that stops, then you'll stop. So you have no real interest in the Hillary email. Well, I didn't say that. Well, yes, you did. Yes, you did. As soon as we get done with Trump, you'll get done with Hillary. You don't really give a fuck about what happened with Hillary, Benghazi, any of that shit. I wonder how those families feel about that. I know who it was. That fucking chick, Tammy, what's her ass? Tommy. I'm like, what? Anyway, fuck it. Fuck it, fuck it, fuck it, fuck it, fuck it, fuck it. Okay. Now, when did we start this goddamn fucking thing? Okay. Testing 1, 2. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay. Tomorrow, okay, Saturday Cinema. Jesus fucking Christ. Imagine Dave Oliva in a crowded cafe with women.
Well, what I did, Mr. Henry, is I decided to stop in here. This is a Tupperware party that's going on. I stopped here, Mr. Henry. Well, what I've done, Mr. Henry, is I'm... yes, sir, what I've done, Mr. Henry, is I'm basically talking... I decided, because of the sensitive nature of what we're talking about, I come in here to... this is a cooking school. It's a culinary arts school right here at the Kulo Mall.
What is it called? The Kulo Mall?
Yes, sir.
Wait a minute. They've got a Kulo Jenny.
Well, I can't speak to that, you know.
The Kulo Mall. All right. He said there is no reason, for the truth is plain to see, that I wandered through. No, 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 my boy. It's this way. There you go. Now you go to the, this. You go there. Ha, there. Jesus fucking Christ, man. How much of that song do we play? 22, okay. Where is it, man? Where is it, man? Okay, cool. Now, I want to see if we can find the karaoke version of... Dad, I don't know, man. There's a lot I don't know about this. This goddamn computer. You keep on trying, but you really don't know. What the fuck you're doing?
I'd like to sing a song now, Phil, that you were talking about earlier. I'm going to be doing this Sunday, tomorrow night. I said Sunday. Saturday night, tomorrow night, at the Cavalcade Seafood Depot. Shit.
Margaret, it's a great booking.
Oh, sure, Frank. It's called A Whiter Shade of Pale, written by Matthew... I don't know who wrote it. We skip the light fandango. Turned cartwheels across the floor. I was feeling kind of seasick.
Jesus.
But the crap...
Just keep going, Margaret. Keep going, will you?
I don't want you interrupting me.
Perfect. Perfecto mundo, Mang. Now what you do... If you want to do a do, and you want to do the do, and you want to do the do, you go and open up a new tab, motherfucker. Don't be bitching and pissing and moaning. about all that other shit. See? Now, this motherfucker, this goes on. Andreas Klummer, whiter shade of pale. Well, I guess it's some cats. Some dude did it on The Voice. So anyway, okay, it's like minus two, so 26 minutes, okay. I was feeling kind of, oh, fuck, I forgot the god motherfucker. Hold on, god damn it. And so we won't. And I got to, I got an audition I got to finish for tomorrow. There we go. Good. Now, how do we print this piece of shit? Over here? All right. Let's do that then, man. Yep. That's it. My printer's been fucking up bad. And I mean bad, dude. Time for a new printer. No, please, Mr. Henry, don't get rid of me. Hey. You fucked me up, man. You don't understand, but you did. Yeah, time for a new printer. Jammed up again. This thing is like throwing this motherfucker out, man. I'm gonna throw this piece of shit out, man. Well, I've had it for over 10 years, but I want it to go 20, 30, 40, 50. I could bring a repairman in. I don't repair this kind of shit. I just don't do it. I mean, because it's like, fuck it. Just give me a new one, man. You know what? I realize planned obsolescence. I understand that shit. You're not going to, you know, you want to get more money out of me by me sending a fucking repairman. Fuck it. I'll just go and buy a new one and it won't be your brand. I'll buy something else. Well, it'll break down too. Fine. Then I'll fucking throw that one away and get another one. You are not going to do that to me. ZipRecruiter. Okay, got it, motherfuckers, got it. All right, so I'm ready to go here, man. So all I got to do is, what happened here? Okay, good. Whew. Okay, here we go. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right, we're ready to go, ready to rock and roll. I'm going to have to get a song ready. We started the other day with, let's see. That's it, man. Alrighty.